Hi, everyone. It's Sandy Cruz from Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. And I'm here to show you that balanced living works. This is especially for all you ladies over 40. We will cover a range of exciting topics with many special guests, and I really look forward to this season. Bye for now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. Today with me, I have Dr. Nicola Conlon. She is the co-founder of Nushido, and this is a company that makes NAD. You're going to want to learn about NAD. Many of you will probably be just introduced to it today. And that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn. And we're here to learn about a lot of things that are not necessarily mainstream. You can't go to your natural pharmacy or natural supplement store and find NAD in a high quality format yet. Anyway, and so this is why I love topics like this, because I'm not going to get into what it is, but you're going to want to know. I want Nicola to explain it all. I want her to do it because she explains it so beautifully. But basically, NAD, I'm going to do this anyway, is something that really, really the production starts to slow down in midlife and even a little earlier, I think. And it has to do with your energy levels. So you're going to want to know why you need it, how to take it, what's the difference between Nushido and precursors. So please do listen. My biggest passion, biggest passion is helping others age well. I want to be 80 years old and dancing on that dance floor like it's nobody's business. That's me. I want to be able to be like that. I want to walk every day. I want to feel good inside and out. And this is my biggest passion. It's not, I don't like to say anti-aging only because whenever somebody says anti-aging, you think of only skincare. This isn't about skincare. Although, you know what? Some of this stuff that I talk about can also help with your skin. It really starts with the inside. And as a lot of people in my industry like to say, it's under the hood work, but it comes out. It comes out in your skin. It comes out in your energy. It comes out in your just simple love of life. So that's my biggest passion. This is the stuff that I live for. I'm doing some amazing recordings with people, and all of it is really about health span versus lifespan. We all know that these days people live longer, but we also know that they live sicker. We have earlier diagnoses of rheumatoid arthritis, dementia, Parkinson's, all of these cancer, how can I forget cancer, of course. And then there's heart disease. All of these factors, or I should say illnesses, do not help us to close that gap between health span and lifespan. I want health span as long as I have lifespan. Let me live healthy until the day it comes that I'm meant to leave this earth. So you can tell I am hugely passionate about this. I am so into all of these different things. I actually interviewed Phil Mikins. He's a pharmacologist in the UK. And we talked all about bioregulators. And that's coming soon. That is a bioregulator. It's a peptide. And really what it does is it just They trigger, and they're supplements, they trigger your biological reserve of different organ systems. That's what they do. So I'll give you an example. If you know that you have a sluggish thyroid, or let's say, and they're very adaptogenic. So let's say you're hyperthyroid, or let's say you're hypothyroid. It doesn't matter. You would take thyroid as a bioregulator, and it would help to regulate your thyroid function. Doesn't matter whether you're hyper or hypo. And if you're somebody like me who doesn't have a thyroid, if I took it, it would do absolutely nothing in my body. So same thing, you know, there are different bioregulators for different things. So there's one, I think it's testes. Well, obviously, if I'm going to take a bioregulator for testes, it's going to do nothing. I'm a woman. So that is coming soon. Another announcement, if you are on Clubhouse, send me a message. Go find me on Instagram at Sandy K Nutrition or on Facebook. I'm not as active on Facebook, but I am active in my private women's group on Facebook, Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. You can go and answer a few questions if you're a woman over 40 and belong to my private group. It's very small. There's only about 100 women there. Anyway, send me a message if you want to come on Clubhouse. I am very active in a group called Biohacking Women 50 Plus. And then I have another group that I actually moderate. It's called Aging Well, and it's every Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on Clubhouse. And we do different topics. This week we had a great topic. It was called My Peptide Experience. And I had Natalie Nittam. She is a really, really amazing expert in peptides. She was there. And I talked all about my experience over the last 6 months or so taking peptides. And it was just so fun. And then next Friday, this comes out Monday. So Friday, this coming Friday, it will be all about skincare hacks that are great for women my age. So you're not going to want to miss that. And the other thing I want to mention, please, please, please keep your reviews coming. I did have a contest going and I did do the consult and the individual had a consult with me. It was wonderful to connect. I am taking on clients that I work with. I take on a couple of new clients every month that I work with for 3 months. I believe in the 3 month marker only because you can really make a difference in someone's wellness after working with them for 3 months. I also do 1 hour consultations if that's all you need. Please do send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca. And now I'm going to cut on through to the interview with Nicola. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have Dr. Nicola Conlon. She is an accomplished molecular biologist who specializes in the study of aging as a complex disorder. Now, I actually reached out to Nicola because I have heard of her, I've heard of her company, and I've listened to other podcasts of colleagues. And I love what she stands for. And as all my listeners know, I'm always looking to age better. I mean, aging is inevitable, but I want to age better. So Nicola is also the co-founder of Nishido. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. A company that brings potent life-enhancing science to the public, including products like NAD, which is what we're going to really talk about and delve deep in today. So welcome, Nicola.
Hi, Sandy. It's lovely to be here with you.
Yes, I am so happy that you're here. And, you know, you're going to probably laugh because I said to my son today, I am going to be interviewing a doctor of molecular biology. Do you think I'm going to be able to speak on her level? You know, yes, I have a little science background from school, but anyway, I want to make sure that we are able to bring to my audience the powers of NAD and really break it down and talk about how it can help us. So maybe start with how you got into this side of wellness, which is, you know, really aging well.
Yeah, of course. And just before I start, just to put your little comment about saying to your son, you know, am I going to be able to understand and am I going to be able to speak on the same level? Well, you know, one of my personal missions is actually being able to try and explain science in more layman terms, so that people can actually access it and really understand it and enjoy it. So I hope I'm able to do that for your audience, because I think it is something that is lacking in science, unfortunately, but it's so important that we talk about, you know, what's going on in our labs and what it is that we're doing. So yeah, I have no doubt that you'll be absolutely fine.
Oh, you know what? That is so good, because I don't know if you're on Clubhouse, but I've actually gone into some groups where I'm just like, okay, you know what? That's good for me, but I'm out, just because I think that understanding science just at a, yeah, in more layman's terms is really important, because that's what's going to make you go, yeah, I want that. I need that. And I need that for me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, how did I get into aging? That's a question. So my background, as we mentioned, I'm a scientist. And actually my career before I started Nichido was actually in drug development. So my very early background in science was all about how drugs and nutrients are absorbed in the body. So when you take a pill or you take a supplement or you even eat something, how is it that the drug or the molecules or the nutrients actually go from being in your mouth to then passing through your gut wall and actually going around the body and then ultimately entering the cells where they actually have their action? So that's something called bioavailability. And that's what I specialized in, which is what ultimately led me into a career of drug development, because obviously in drug development, it's really important when you're developing drugs that you're able to understand how they're going to react in the body and where they're going to go in the body.
Right. And what it can turn on and off, right? Because as we know with drugs and even with supplements, like there's got to be that balance, right?
Exactly. You know, drugs are, we would describe them as promiscuous molecules. They don't just interact with single things in the body. They interact with a lot of different things. So after that was sort of early days what I really trained and specialized in. And then I moved, you know, properly from academia into industry, into the world of pharmaceuticals. Because I was very naive and thought, you know, I want my science to actually benefit people. How's it going to benefit people? Well, drugs, you know, drug development and medicines and things like that. But, you know, when I was working in drug development, I soon kind of realized that that was a bit short-sighted. And actually, it takes an awful long time to get any breakthrough science to a person if you rely on drug development, because that generally takes 10 to 15 years. It costs hundreds of millions of pounds. There's loads of regulatory red tape to get through. And it's very, very complicated. So anyway, that was the industry I ended up in. And that's actually when I became really interested in aging research and the science behind why we age, but perhaps more importantly, why we get sicker as we age or why we feel worse as we age. Yeah. And the reason for that is if you look at all of the major diseases that we suffer as a society now, so things like cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, diabetes, your biggest risk factor of getting any of those diseases is actually age. So, you know, everyone talks about diet and lifestyle and nutrition and all sorts of different things, but actually putting on years is actually the worst thing you can do for your health.
Right. And why is that? Is that just because our bodies are not as efficient as they used to be?
It's a complex mixture of different things. I mean, ultimately, the reasons behind it is that we get an accumulation of damage in the cells. And really the reason behind this is actually we as humans and the way we are built is we are not designed to live as long as we're living today. So if you look at, lifespan graphs, it's only very recently that we've started living beyond age 50. Go rewind a couple of hundred years, we would be really, really, really lucky if we made it to 50, because we'd have probably died of childbirth or right. of an abscess in our tooth or, right. An infection. But now, because of, improved healthcare, sanitation, modern medicine, we're actually suddenly, very suddenly, got these really much longer lifespans. However, evolution and the way we're built has designed us to be good at living young, but not be good at being old.
100%. And I was going to say that. Yeah.
It's this problem where we've suddenly, as a society and humanity, really, really changed the length of life. But evolution takes a long time and our bodies haven't caught up. So I always like to get people to think of it as like our bodies are really good at being young and repairing themselves when they're young and being really efficient when they're young, but we're not good at being old because that's not what we were designed for. So things that, genetically, things that would actually help us be good at being old aren't selected for by the process of natural selection because we've never lived long enough for them to be beneficial. Okay. We only live long enough for the genes that make us good at being young to be passed to the next generation.
I'd love to know, just as an aside, because I always talk about this even in my own practice, is that it seems like, we're living longer, but we're living sicker.
Yeah. And there's a sort of description for that. So we always like to get people to think of this difference between your lifespan, which is ultimately just the number of years that you're actually going to live, versus your health span, which is the number of years that you'll actually live in good health. And what you find is that health span is much shorter than lifespan.
Yes.
And we're spending, I think it's roughly about a 20% period at the end of our lives where we have lost our health span. So we're actually living with multiple diseases. We are frail. We have, a loss of independence, and we're not able to live our lives like we'd want to be. And one of the key, motivations within the research that we do and, the whole of the field of age and research is to actually narrow that gap between health span and lifespan. So actually we're extending the period that we're in good health and not ending up stuck in a care home for 20 right. years or, requiring care or loads of medications. It's about being able to live healthy as long as possible.
Oh my God, that's everything that I live for now, is understanding how to get that health span and how to narrow that gap. 100%. I look at my parents and I emulate a lot of how they live, because my father's almost 84. He'll be 84 in April. He bikes to my house still. He's definitely got a few creaks in there and some issues, but for the most part, he's got amazing quality of life, as does my mom. And so I want that exact thing. And we've all had cancer. I think that we've all also learned, I've learned to change things in my life. And so I think when you live a certain way, you can do more to get to achieve this.
Yeah, exactly. And this is such a big area of research, and this is why I ended up getting into it, because most of the time you would never associate a drugs company with aging. But actually behind the scenes, there is an awful lot of time and effort now being put into researching the reasons behind why we age, and more importantly, trying to slow our rate of aging. And that's because, at the minute, we have all these different diseases. So cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, for example, the risk is going up as we age. But at the moment, we have particular groups of scientists that only focus on dementia and people that only focus on cancer, and we treat them all very, very separately. However, if you think, well, actually, the root cause of all of these things, you know, the root risk factor is age. So what happens if you flip this idea in the head and say, well, is age the disease? And actually cancer, heart disease, and dementia are symptoms of aging.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, I actually recently started hearing that more and more, that aging is the disease. And all of the other factors come into play because of aging.
Yeah. Wow. So that's one, you know, when this was first proposed in the field, I have to say that the majority of scientists were just like, that's a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. Like it's so stupid, basically. Yeah. Like aging is a natural thing. You can't do anything about it. Yes, it may be a root cause, but it just happens. And it's a fact of life almost. But there was a strong group of scientists that said, no, we're going to test this. Our theory is if we treat aging as a disease and try and slow aging or reverse aging, we want to see if we can actually have impact on health span. So can we reduce the incidence of all of those diseases in one go rather than treating them separately? Because quite frankly, at the minute, it's not really working. So we've kind of got nothing to lose. That's exactly what they did. They went away and did quite, you know, a lot of really cutting edge research. And what they found was actually aging is a process that can be modified. It is something that you can actually slow, and it is something that has now been proven to be reversible in cells and mammals. So that, you know, really, really changed people's opinions. And now the state the field is in is that you wouldn't find a single scientist that would say that's a stupid idea, because the evidence is so strong now that you can't ignore the fact that this is actually possible and the implications of it are actually huge. And that is why it's now appearing in drug discovery. And that is how I got involved in it, because companies, the drugs companies, are now looking, right, how can we do this? How can we develop that pill that one day we'll all take to reduce our rate of aging, which ultimately is going to lower our risk of multiple diseases?
Now, do you think it's even possible for one pill, Nicola? Because here's the thing. I always talk about balanced living. So there's so many different factors to wellness, overall wellness and health and longevity. It's not just one thing. You can't say, I'm going to meditate 5 days a week and then I'm going to live to 100 and I'm going to be healthy and do it, right? So it's about the nutrition, it's about exercise, it's about that meditation, it's about the stress. So it's kind of like you can't look at it in silos. It's just like everything, all encompassing.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And, you know, just relating what you're saying about, you know, there's multiple things that have to be done, and actually moving that into my world, which is drug discovery. That's always been a major issue in drug development, is that drugs companies think, well, there's this one target in the body, and if we target that one thing with this one drug, we'll cure everything. But it never happens, because biology is incredibly complex, and there's never just one thing happening, that because that one thing is influencing multiple other different things in the body. And that one drug doesn't stick to one thing in the body. It affects multiple things in the body.
Right. It's like you take that one drug and it might resolve this one issue. However, it's going to break down two or three others.
Exactly. So yeah, whether it's one drug, a combination of drugs, a combination of lifestyle interventions and a drug, I think there will be something, because the science is too strong now for there not to be and for it to be ignored. What that, in the end actually becomes, I'm not 100% sure. I agree with you that it will be more than one thing. But I think the important thing is that there has been a huge paradigm shift of aging, or has been known as this sort of non-modifiable risk factor. And now there's this actually, no, it's modifiable. This is something you can do something about. So there's been several big breakthroughs which have shown you can reverse cellular aging. And that's what I was working on in the drugs companies.
So now it's a perfect segue to get into NAD. What is it? And how does this fit into the whole aging well picture?
Yeah, so NAD is one of those big breakthroughs.
Yeah.
So there's been about five different ways that there's been, it's been demonstrated that you can slow aging and even reverse it. And NAD is one of them. So NAD has been around for a long time. It's not this new thing that suddenly appeared that no one knew about. It's actually a very, very well-studied molecule because mm-hmm. it's very, very important for our energy production in our cells. And this takes place in these tiny little sort of power plants of the cells called the mitochondria. And the mitochondria are very, very important for basically taking the food that you eat and extracting the energy out of it into a usable form called ATP that your cells actually use as power. And NAD is a very critical part of that process. It's very important in the way that it helps to extract that energy. And NAD is so important in this process that actually it's found in every single cell in the body because they all need the energy.
And it's more in certain places, right? Like more in the brain, or is that right? Yeah.
So it tend to have more mitochondria in very, in sort of organs that need a lot of energy. So like your muscles, your brain, things like that. And the main thing is that if you didn't have any NAD to support that, you would literally be dead in 30 seconds because it's that critical to actually extracting that energy that keeps us alive.
So what happens when we get older?
Yeah, well, that's been known for years. Okay. You know, that's been known for absolutely years that it's really important.
Yes.
However, the link with aging is kind of more due to one of its other functions, which is perhaps more recently researched. And that is that as well as being critical for energy production, NAD also acts as like a signal in the cell to tell the cell to basically switch on repair and maintenance mechanisms in the cell. So mm-hmm. things like DNA repair, recycling of damaged parts of the cell. It tells the cell to switch on particular genes that are associated with longevity. These things only get switched on when NAD is high. Because what NAD is doing, it's almost like signaling what the energy status of the cell is or the body is. And if you have an abundance of food and nutrients coming in, then what happens is NAD goes low. And it's like, hey, we've got loads of availability of nutrients. We don't need to be careful. We can damage things and it doesn't matter because we've got loads of amino acids coming in to repair, or we can, you know, don't need to recycle that because, you know, we've got an abundance of energy and food coming in. And all those repair and maintenance things get switched off. However, when your NAD is high, it's like signaling actually, you know, we're not getting energy coming in. There's a lack of food. There's, you know, something's going on. That means we're going to have to look after ourselves and we need to switch that repair on and we need to make sure we recycle things and be really conservative.
Okay.
And that's how NAD signals to switch all of these repair and maintenance functions on. And just going back to evolution, that's kind of like a thing that's evolved with time. If you think when we were, you know, when we were hunting for food, we'd go days where we didn't eat anything. So we had to have this mechanism in our bodies to be able to sense that actually there's no food coming in. So we need to actually
preserve,
or actually we've just got this huge, you know, we've caught a wildebeest or whatever people hunted for.
Yeah.
We've got an abundance. So our bodies can almost stand down and they don't have to be as conservative in repair. So NAD is one of these things in the cell that fluctuates and it actually acts as this signal almost between the outside world and your cells.
Okay, I have to clarify this. Mm-hmm. So you've got somebody who has a horrible horrible nutrition. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They eat horrible food. They don't have a balanced diet. What's going on with their NAD? Are you telling me they're making more?
No.
Okay. So yeah,
making less.
They're making less. That's what I wanted to clarify.
Low NAD switches off repair. High NAD switches on repair.
Okay.
So if you're sitting constantly eating all day, there's no signal. Yet your body thinks, oh, this is great. I've got all this energy coming in. doesn't matter, it's bad energy, but all this energy coming in, don't need NAD, don't need repair, repair gets switched off.
Okay,
so people that have a bad diet have low NAD.
Okay, okay. And then, you know, there's been enough studies to say teenagers and elderly actually are two of the groups that have the worst diet, mm-hmm. right? So, but if you're young and you're a teenager, you know, eating pizza all the time or McDonald's or whatever, like what's happening to their NAD? But they're young.
So the younger you are, the more resilient you are against NAD loss. So okay. it's unlikely to go, and this goes back to how we're good at being young,
yeah.
but not good at being old. So basically, the link between NAD and aging is that NAD has been found to decline as we get older.
Right.
Okay.
It's pretty huge, isn't it? The percentage.
Decline.
Yeah. Like what is that stat?
You lose about 50% of your NAD every 20 years.
Wow.
So if you look at the graphs, I mean, by the time you're age 80, you have a very small fraction of what you had left when you were young and when you were born. So bearing in mind how critical this molecule is for your energy production and for your repair and maintenance in your cell, that's pretty bad. and so scientists said, okay, if we've got this molecule that is so important and it's declining as we age, what happens, you know, could that be a reason why we aren't as healthy when we're older? Like why we've got a lot of cellular damage and why we're not good at being old? And what happens if we don't let NAD decline and we actually keep it high?
Mm-hmm.
So they did a lot of studies that demonstrated that if they could supplement with something that would keep NAD high, then, and they didn't let that decline happen, or they boosted it back up to youthful levels, then what happened was they got an increase in health span of the mammal.
Okay.
So that's like reducing the incidence of cancer, reducing the incidence of all the age-related diseases, and actually just better cognitive function, better energy, better just health in general.
Okay. Yes.
So that was quite a breakthrough.
Absolutely. So that means it's very well studied. Now, B3, talk to me about the relation to NAD and vitamin B3 or niacin, which everybody knows. A lot of people know what the niacin flush is. You can't just go and take loads of vitamin B3 because you're going to have issues. I've actually had that once and it was not good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like a scary feeling, like where you're like, what is going on with my body? Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what the difference is.
Right. So it's a bit complicated, and it's only complicated because regulations have made it that way.
Okay.
It's all to do with the way you have to label things on products. So vitamin B3 is like an umbrella term for lots of different molecules. So niacin, nicotinic acid, niacinamide, which is also known as nicotinamide, nicotinamide riboside, nicotinamide mononucleotide, they are all derivatives of vitamin B3.
Okay, are they precursors?
They're just slightly structurally different.
Okay, okay.
So if you looked at the chemical structure, they look pretty similar, but they'll have like an atom or a molecule in, you know, in a different place. So they're very, very similar. And because of that, they tend to be grouped as these vitamin B3 derivatives. So where it gets complicated is, so, you know, you talk about niacin and the niacin flush.
Yeah.
So you might look at a product and it might say niacin on the back, but that niacin might have in brackets next to it as nicotinic acid.
Okay.
Or it might have niacin as nicotinamide. So it's kind of getting labeled as niacin, but actually it's not niacin that's in there. It's either nicotinic acid or it's nicotinamide.
Oh, gosh.
And they are structurally different and the body reacts differently to them. For example, if you take a big dose of nicotinic acid version of niacin, you will get that flush. If you take the same dose of niacin as nicotinamide, you will not get a flush.
Right.
And it's just so stupid the way it's made to be labeled, because it's they're different molecules. You know, I know they're slightly the similar, but they're different. So that's just something to look out for. But
okay.
Where they relate to NAD is that they are all what we would call precursors of NAD.
Right.
And all that means is they're like the building blocks that the body needs to make NAD. Because NAD is actually quite a big molecule. So it's generally made within the cells because it's really hard to transport into a cell. So the cell makes it right inside where it needs it. And basically what the cell does is it takes these precursors from the diet, which are these derivatives of vitamin B3, and it transports them into the cell. Then it assembles them all together using different enzymes into this big NAD molecule.
Okay. Wow. All right, that does sound kind of complicated, but I guess you can definitely get NAD production from your food that you eat if you eat enough B vitamins. Because I do know, too, like, you know how B vitamins, they say if you take one, you should actually take the group as well. Because if you take one of them, you can knock out the balance of the rest of them, correct? It's what we were talking about before.
Yeah. But the one that's really important for NAD is the B3 derivatives.
Right.
They're the ones that are important. And they're the ones that the body uses to make NAD. But the, you know, you can get these obviously you can get vitamin B3 from your food.
Mm-hmm.
But the Absolutely. Interesting thing is that actually, although your body can take these sort of raw materials, these precursors, and make them into NAD, actually the majority of NAD in your cells is actually recycled. So you don't need to be taking these raw materials. You just have to have cells that are good at making their own NAD, because actually when you're young, that's where your majority of NAD comes from. So basically what happens is that your cell needs this NAD for energy and for repair.
Yeah.
And when it gets used in this process, it gets broken down into these precursors. But then the cell has enzymes that just flip it straight back into NAD again. And
oh, wow.
When we're young, this just keeps going. So as long as you've got that cycle going, which it's called the salvage pathway, it's like your body's salvaging the NAD. And as long as you've got that working well, your body just keeps making its own NAD. And that is why it's been found to decline in older people, because that is what stops working.
That process.
Cycling. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, talk to me about what happens when you supplement. I know that there's different ways, and we can get a little bit into this. There's the NR. Then there's
NMN.
It better. Yeah, NMN, right? And these are the precursors. It's not actually NAD.
No.
Then there's also patches. There's sublingual. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different precursors and, I guess, forms to take to improve.
Yeah.
So maybe touch on, because I've tried NR, which is a brand, True Niagen, some people may have heard of. And I personally didn't see anything. Maybe it was placebo initially when I was taking it. I was like, oh yeah, I have more energy. But then it kind of fizzled off, and I feel like it didn't do enough. So maybe talk about that, because now that NAD is starting to become bigger, I'd like people to understand it.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, there's the danger that, you know, this some new science comes out, then everyone jumps on the bandwagon and starts throwing out all these different, oh, boost your NAD this way and do it that way. And people don't really understand what they're taking or how it's working or what it's doing. So, yeah, it would be really good to go over that. So there's several ways that you mentioned that you can boost NAD. The first and most common one is to take precursors. Okay, so these are, take vitamin B3 derivatives, basically the ones that you've just named that you commonly find that people take, the NR, the NMN, the nicotinamide. They are all the raw materials that your body needs to make NAD. And the idea behind taking these is that if your NAD is declined, then you can take more raw material and then the body will make more NAD from it.
Right.
So that's pretty much the most common way. And the issue with that is when that kind of supplementation first sort of started, it seemed sensible. You know, it seems like if you're deficient in something, take a precursor, that's going to make more of it.
Right.
But now, as I mentioned before, it's knowing that actually the reason our NAD is really declining is because our cell is not as efficient at actually making the NAD. So I always get people to think of like, the cell is this factory that's making this NAD product. And if that factory has become old and the machines are broken and there's, you know, the raw materials leaking out of the pipes and there's no staff, would you say that it's a sensible way to boost production by just simply ordering more raw materials to get dropped off at the gate?
No, certainly not.
What would you do?
Well, you got to figure out why it's not working properly before you get the raw materials.
You've got to fix the factory.
Yes.
So you have to fix the machines that are actually going to take the raw material and make it into NAD.
Right.
So that is a major flaw of this precursor approach, is that it completely ignores the reason why your NAD is declining in the first place.
Makes sense.
It's very well known now that it's not declining because you've got a lack of raw material. It's actually declining because the enzymes that are processing that into NAD and recycling it are declining with age.
Yeah.
And now that's very well studied. So the other way that people tend to try to boost their NAD is by using actual pure NAD. Now, if you buy any capsules that have pure NAD in them that you take orally, run a mile. Do not use them, because NAD will not pass through your gut. It will not get through into the cells. It is a very big molecule. It's also a very unstable molecule. And there is a reason why it's made inside cells, and that is because it really struggles to go into the cells.
So it's not living. So, it's not going to do anything if you take it orally.
No. Take it orally, it's going to just get broken down. So complete waste of time.
Okay.
So that's quite well recognized now. So people, you know, companies try to get around that by saying, okay, we'll give a sublingual NAD. So that's the idea that you go under your tongue and it goes straight into the blood and it bypasses the gut.
Yes.
So yes, that gets rid of the problem with the gut, but you've still got the problem that it has to get over the cell membrane into the cells.
To actually do the work. Yeah.
Yeah. To act, because NAD actually does its job inside the cells,
right.
Not inside the blood, not inside your plasma and your blood. It does the work inside the cells. So some cells have little channels that can let the NAD through, but the majority of them don't. And there's very limited evidence to show that it can actually pass intact into the cells. And this, the other way is like IV infusions. They've become very popular,
yes,
but that's
I've heard
same
of that.
Thing. Instead of, you know, putting it under your tongue, it goes in your vein, it's still in your blood. And again, very, very limited data to show how it's actually getting through. There is some evidence to show that it does increase NAD within the cell, but what it looks like is actually that NAD gets broken down back into the raw material, then the cell takes up the raw material, then has to make it back into NAD again. So it's kind of like, it's not the best way. So those are the sort of common ways to boost NAD, and that's how it works. Got involved in the world of NAD, we said, right, let's look at what the latest science is, what it's showing of what that root cause is, and let's try and design something that actually boosts NAD but actually addresses that root cause. So we've got an NAD supplement, and basically the way AS works is it actually fixes the problem in the cell. So it fixes the factory.
Fixes
the enzymes that make the NAD, and that means that you're making your cells actually more efficient at making NAD themselves.
Oh, amazing.
So it's a completely different approach. And we've seen much better results doing it that way. We found that, you know, we've done experiments that have demonstrated that just by fixing the factory and not putting any raw material in, you know, so no precursor, you can actually boost cellular NAD without even having to put any new raw material in. Yes, because you make girls good at what they were doing when they were young.
Yeah, I've seen some of the studies and on your website, and I was amazed. That's why I was like, I gotta talk to this lady and get more info on here and bring it to the general public, because I feel like, you know, I will promote a product that I feel works. And sometimes I think, oh, it's working. And then I'm like, oh, maybe it's not. And So who is NAD good for?
So, you know, it's a common question that I get asked is when, like, how old should I be to start taking NAD?
How do we know? And there's no real good or at least affordable test to test our NAD, is there?
No.
No,
the issue is NAD is difficult to measure.
Yeah.
And that's because it's unstable. So it's not a simple case of, you know, popping some finger prick blood in a tube and posting it away. By the time it arrives at the lab, it's all degraded.
Right.
So that is an issue. But, you know, when I talk to people about this, and I sometimes show the graphs of how NAD declines, and what you can see is that it actually declines from the day you're born. And, you know, but if it declines by 50% every 20 years, that means by the time you're 20, you've lost half your NAD that you had when you were born. So that just kind of puts it into perspective of how exponential the decline is. But generally, it's not until our sort of 30s, late 30s, that it really is dropping off the cliff. So I would always say around that age. And there's no coincidence that that's kind of the age that you start noticing, like, oh, you know, I don't feel as much energy as I used to. Yeah. And if I'm at the gym, I'm not recovering as quickly. Or, you know, my mental focus isn't as sharp as it was. And there's just little things that people start noticing, you know, your skin, things like that. So the types of symptoms, if you want to call them that would be associated with low NAD are a real lack of energy. So that's not surprising, because NAD is so critical for your energy production. And if it's not available to the mitochondria, then they can't be as efficient at making their energy.
Yes.
So, you know, just a real lack of energy. The other thing is your sleep. So a key thing that is linked to NAD is your circadian rhythms. So these are your 24-hour sleep and wake cycles. And NAD is actually very closely linked to regulating this rhythm. And what you find is that as people get older, their circadian rhythm is not as strong. So usually when we're young, we have these real strong signals that, you know, sort of going up and down, saying melatonin, go to sleep, and then, you know, decreasing, then waking. And when you're older, they're not as big. They're dampened down, these signals. So you kind of, your sleep isn't as good, you get less of restorative sleep. And it's been linked to the decline in NAD, because NAD mirrors these cycles.
So what about quality of sleep? So we're talking about, so you know how you're supposed to spend a certain amount of time. I measure, and I think you have one too, an Oura ring. Yes, of course. Of course. I have had mine for probably about 3 years, and I'm always looking at my recovery, my heart rate variability, how much deep sleep, that deep restorative sleep, and how does NAD affect the quality of your sleep?
So as your circadian rhythm becomes dysregulated with age, what you usually find is that you get a decrease in your REM sleep, so your rapid eye movement sleep. So this is the sleep that's really important for sort of cognitive function and for your sort of mental restoration when you sleep. You've got your deep sleep, which is more for like repairing the body, and your REM sleep, which is very much for like when your brain is making new correct connections and it's understanding and processing thoughts and memories and things that have happened through the day. So it's that one that's really affected as you get older. And it's been demonstrated that basically if you disrupt NAD, it disrupts the circadian rhythms, which actually disrupts sleep.
Okay.
So something that we get a lot of feedback on is how well people sleep. or the, you know, the measuring that people, especially people that really measure the sleep, can really see it's had an impact. And again, scientifically, that makes total sense because of the way NAD interacts with the circadian rhythm.
Interesting. So, what about HRV? Yeah. Does it have an impact on HRV?
So not directly. So we haven't done any studies to measure that directly. Obviously, heart rate variability is a measure of how stressed your system is and how stressed your body is. So if your body is really struggling to repair itself efficiently and it has lack of energy, then naturally, you know, you're not going to have as high a heart rate variability because your body's going to be under more stress. Although there are no studies that I know of that actually support that, but theoretically,
yes,
you would think
that there's a connection. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry, there is more, right? That it has a symptoms for people that are great candidates for NAD.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, there are different groups of people that we seem to get really good feedback from. And you can do all the studies in the world in people's blood of like how much their NAD is moving up or down and like what's happening to their genetics and things. But ultimately the important bit is like, what are people feeling any different?
Yeah.
And I'd say that there's two major groups of people that we get a lot of feedback from. One group is definitely perimenopausal women. So women who have started to really experience like the brain fog and lack of energy, and, you know, they're just really not feeling very good at all. And they don't really realize, this is the customer's words I'm going to speak now, because they all say the same thing. They all say, we didn't realize how bad we felt till we didn't feel like that anymore. So they say, you know, they email us and say, our energy is just so much better. We're sleeping so much better. We just feel so much better. And, we can actually think.
That's amazing.
So that's a big group. The other group that we find is people that have real issues with any sort of like energy deficiency. So like people with like chronic fatigue syndrome, Lyme's disease, where people are really struggling with their energy levels. And we've had some incredible feedback from customers who, you know, have said, this has really, really helped with our lack of energy and actually, you know, changed our lives.
That's amazing.
So for us, that, you know, was really incredible. The top things in terms of health are definitely the energy, the sleep, and the mental focus. And then there's the other side, which is actually things like hair, skin, and nails.
Doesn't like that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that we're actually testing more now because we've had so much feedback on it in our clinical trial we're doing. We've actually started measuring skin parameters because people were saying they've had such an improvement. The thing that people seem to notice is their nails, like how strong their nails grow and how fast they grow. And for a lot of people, you know, they're like, if it's doing that to my nails, it must be doing other good things.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
just having that's something they can see and measure. And the other really crazy one, which is something we kind of weren't really expecting, is reversal of gray hair.
Hold on. This sounds like spermidine to me. It does sound, because spermidine does some of this as well.
Which isn't surprising, you know, the pathways they're working on, like autophagy and NAD.
Yes. So this does work on the same thing, like autophagies. It's autophagy. It improves autophagy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So we started getting emails from our customers. Interestingly, they were all men originally, saying, hey, you need to like look at this, like look at my hair. gone from gray to black, and like everyone's commenting saying I've dyed my hair. And I think the reason that it was all the men to begin with is obviously men's hair is shorter, so if they're cutting it all the time, it's quite obvious if it's suddenly going a darker color. But then it wasn't until actually my own mum started to experience it. And she was, you know, used to have very dark hair like me, but is now, you know, completely white at the front. And she actually said, before I'd even mentioned that we'd had any people, other people reporting it, she was like, look at my hair, Nicola, like it's coming through black. So she's got like this black hair at the front.
That's amazing.
And she's like, what's going on?
And what about skin, like youthfulness and, you know, radiance of your skin, you know, how that kind of disappears as you age?
So one of the main things with skin is that you get a reduction in the thickness of the skin. So it becomes much thinner, and that's how you get, obviously get wrinkles more, and you get like a volume.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of studies actually directly measuring NAD decline in the skin. And it's been shown that increasing NAD can actually increase something called skin barrier function, which is like the thickness of the skin. So it's obviously improving the quality. But then on top of that, it's NAD is absolutely critical for something called DNA repair.
Oh, and, yeah, let's get into this. Yeah. And methylation and all that.
Well, when you go out in the sun,
okay,
you know, even when it is not a sunny day or it's not a really hot day, the sun and the UV is actually constantly damaging your skin cells. And the type of damage it causes is DNA damage. And this is why, you know, you should wear sunscreen all the time. But this is DNA damage. It's constantly suffering DNA damage. And NAD is like the fuel for the repair enzymes that fix this, that are constantly running around in our cells, repairing any little bit of damage.
That's amazing.
And if you don't have NAD, that repair doesn't happen, because that they just can't work without NAD. And the biggest by far cause of skin aging is photoaging, DNA damage from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And NAD is critical to fixing it. So boosting NAD levels in your skin cells is definitely a good thing to do.
Okay, that's good to know. Now can you describe what methylation is and then how NAD can, I just know for myself, because I test it, I know I've been a very slow methylator, and then I've kind of swung the other way recently, and I'm more of a hyper methylator. So perhaps you can describe what methylation is, why it's important, and how NAD can change or help methylation.
Okay. So methylation has become a lot more spoke about recently due to something called epigenetics.
Mm-hmm.
Quick science lesson.
All right, let's go.
So your genes is the DNA you're born with, okay? So that is like the instruction guide of how to put your body together and how to make every single part of your body. However, your epigenetics is actually which of those genes are switched on or off. Okay. And just as an example of how this works. So if you take a cell from your intestines or a cell from your eye, they actually have identical DNA. Okay. But your epigenetics is what tells your eye cell to become an eye and switch the genes on that will make an eye, and tell your intestines cell to become a gut cell.
Okay.
And switch on the genes that it needs to become that. So it's kind of like the reader that actually switches on and off your DNA. Now, there's multiple different ways this can happen, but methylation is important in this. So methylation is a way that your body kind of like tags things. So it's just like a little chemical methyl group, and your cells can kind of stick this tag, like a sticker almost, onto things. And they stick it on genes to tell genes to be switched on and off. Or they can stick it on proteins to tell them to switch on and off. So it's basically just like this way that your cell can basically tell parts of the cell to switch themselves on and off by taking this sticker on and off. And the reason that it's spoke about a lot in relation to NAD is because sometimes when people take precursors to make NAD, they suffer something called methyl donor depletion, which basically means that all these methyl tags get used up. And this causes problems because if you're using all these methyl tags up, they're not available for tagging your DNA or tagging different other important processes in your cell. And that can have lots of negative implications. And the reason that you get this methyl donor depletion is basically because if we think back to the reason why I was saying NAD declines, it's because the factory and the machines that make NAD decline. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're shipping all this raw material in and it's piling up because the factory can't actually turn it into NAD, the factory needs to actually get rid of it somehow before it just all piles up. And this is exactly what happens in the cell. Cells don't like things to build up. So if you're taking all these precursor supplements, but your cell can't actually convert it into NAD because the enzyme is not there, then this precursor builds up. And the way that the cell gets rid of it is it sticks a methyl tag on it. It puts the sticker on it to tell it to get rid of it. And that's how it gets excreted out of the cell so that you don't get all this buildup in the cell.
Okay.
So when people are taking huge doses of precursor and it's all building up in the cell has to use massive amounts of these methyl groups to get rid of it. And then you suffer.
And so you lose them.
Methylation. Yeah.
So you lose them. And methyl donors... that could be like B12 is a methyl donor. Like there's different donors, right? I don't know if you want to get into that.
a really common one. So people often take something called TMG or trimethylglycine alongside precursors for NAD for exactly this reason, because they know it's a problem. Trimethylglycine, if you break down the name, it's tri, which means three.
Yeah.
Methyl. So there's three methyls attached to glycine, which is an amino acid. And then when it goes in the body, it's releasing all these methyl groups to give your body more methyl groups to be able to use.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So if you're a, let's say you're a hypermethylator, is NAD safe to take? Or let's just say, let's speak of more your product. Because we know enough, I think, about the precursors, and you made that really, really very clear for, I think, well, I understand what you're talking about. I think it's very clear. So let's speak about your product specifically, how it would interplay with somebody who's a slow methylator and somebody who might be a hypermethylator.
So with our product, it avoids the whole methylation problem completely.
Beautiful.
Because the only reason that methylation becomes an issue with NAD is when the factory is not working. But our product's designed to fix the factory.
Oh, beautiful.
So it actually completely bypasses that whole issue of methylation, because it's not, NAD is not directly impacting it. It's the buildup of the precursors that actually have to be methylated and removed. So yeah, that's how our approach is completely different.
That's beautiful. That's really, really good. Okay. Holy smokes. I think we've covered a ton. I don't know if I've missed anything. Can you think of anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to cover?
Thyroid.
Thyroid. I think we kind of, you and I talked about it slightly before, but there's not a lot of studies on that, right?
No, not directly. So there's not a lot of studies showing any links between, you know, NAD and thyroid function, or people with thyroid disease and NAD.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting area, because obviously it's a problem for a lot of people. Their thyroid doesn't
Me
function
included.
As well, or, you know, you don't have a thyroid.
No. And I always ask, because I work with quite a few women who have issues with thyroid, whether it's Graves' disease or half their thyroid was removed or sluggish thyroid, or it's like thyroid is like everything, it seems, at least for women over 40 and perimenopause, it seems to be huge. So I always ask about that. And of course, because of me personally. Now, do you know of any contraindications with, let's speak of your product specifically?
No. So all of the ingredients that are in our product are all GRAS certified, so generally recognized as safe. And, you know, they've been used many times. It's the combination of them that kind of does the magic. But, you know, NAD in general, just like contraindications of that, I think the thing to recognize is that NAD is so critical to every single cell. And the real fundamental biology of the cell, you know, the thing that keeps the cell going, the mitochondria and the energy and the repair. And our bodies are really, really used to having high NAD levels. Like, it's not an abnormal thing.
Yeah, can you go too high? Like, is that possible that you can go too high?
So I don't think there'd be anything that could possibly get it as high as what you had it when you were born.
Okay. Right. Fair
and
enough.
The other thing is to remember that, again, the cells are very good at regulating. So when things become too high, they will deal with it.
Okay.
And NAD, it kind of exists in two forms. So you might see NAD as NAD plus.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you see NADH. And that's basically, they're like a pair of molecules that work together. They just flip between one and the other to adjust the balance.
Okay. So it's not going to make me not sleep. You know how, because we're talking a lot about energy and having loads of it. So the one thing that matters the most to me is that I need my sleep.
Yeah. No, and if actually your NAD levels naturally fluctuate throughout the day, so they're never just constant.
Yeah.
They actually, it looks like a circadian rhythm that you have with your sleep pattern. So it goes up and down like two peaks. So even though you're boosting your NAD, your body is always actually altering its levels. So, you know, we've done experiments where we've took people and we've put cannula in and we've took their blood every 2 hours. And you can see, you know, their NAD levels shift by sometimes 40, 50% just between a morning and an afternoon or an evening and a nighttime. So your body, no matter what you're putting into it, is always moving it around and adjusting it.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, well, I think we've covered everything. Your product is called Time Plus, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And
the Cheeto Time Plus.
Now, yeah, so where can we find you?
So we have an online store. So it's www.nichido.com, and Nichido is spelled N-U-C-H-I-D-O. We ship worldwide.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And I know I have a discount code of 10% off for my listeners. So it's SandyK10, and you can go ahead and you can find Nichido on Facebook, on Instagram. You guys are everywhere. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation, and it wasn't too sciencey, I don't think.
Hopefully not.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm always happy to answer any questions. I've got my Instagram account, which I'm always on, which is just at Dr. Nicola Conlon. So if anyone has any questions, I'm always happy to answer them.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nicola.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Join me next week where I cover off more exciting topics. I hope to continue to engage you and excite you and show you that living in your 40s, 50s, and beyond can be exciting, balanced, and healthful. Bye for now.